be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to the crowds, "Come to me, all you labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." The Gospel of the Lord. This triple dynamism of Advent, as we focus on Christ coming to us and our running out to him and being so transformed that we continue to journey with him thereafter. Jesus says to us today as he comes, "Come to me." And he calls us in a particular condition. He doesn't say, "Come to me, leaving behind all your labors and your burdens," but "Come to me with them." Come to me, he could say, through them. Come to me in the middle of your work. Come to me in the depth of your labors and sufferings and anxieties, personal and apostolic, and I will refresh you. Advent is about learning anew how to unite all the aspects of our life to the Lord. And he shows us how to do that when he gives us that imperative, "Take my yoke upon you." He wants to unite ourselves. We know what that yoke is. That yoke is the cross. Simon of Cyrene was yoked to Jesus because the cross is not so much a sign of pain, but of the love that made that pain bearable. He wants to be yoked to us. And as we do, we learn his meekness and humility in the midst of our labors and burdens. Meekness is not weakness, as I always stress. It's a strength that has a different way of fighting. It's a strength of a black belt. Could actually kill somebody, but won't even punch back and just let the person shadow box because the person knows deftly how to turn. Meekness is the self-control of a great athlete or an extremely well-trained horse who at the slightest touch is able to do what's necessary. Jesus wants us in the midst of labors to yoke ourselves to him so that through them he's able to teach us this meekness, this incredible strength. Likewise, humility. When we do the most humble service yoked to the Lord, we're exalted. Yesterday I had the joy of writing an article on the latest American Blessed. Everybody's been paying attention, of course, to the ups and downs of the cause of canonization for Fulton J. Sheen. Well, we should. He's probably the most influential American Catholic of all time. But last Saturday, there was beatification of an American in Guatemala, Brother James Miller, a brother of Christian schools. He was very bright. He was a teacher. But he was called Hermano Fix-It. He's always caught with a wrench. When he was the principal of a school, he was also cleaning bathrooms and sweeping floors. There was no service he wouldn't do, and in all of it, yoked to the Lord. Even though they had put a hit out on him in Nicaragua, where he was a missionary teacher, such that his superiors had to call him out of the country, back to Minnesota for a while, but he continuously begged to be sent back to Latin America. He was sent to Guatemala, where 13 months after he had arrived, because again, educating people is subversive if you're in the midst of tyranny, because you can't manipulate smart people the same way that you can manipulate people who have never received an education to distinguish between the liars and the truthful ones. He was likewise put on a hit list. One afternoon, as he was fixing a lamp on the outside of his school building, four masked men sped by in a car with their submachine guns and gunned him down. Humble, yoked service. He was always incredibly cheerful because he was yoked to the Lord in the midst of all of those burdens. And when we are yoked to the Lord, we find our work lighter and sweeter. Not necessarily light and sweet, but lighter and sweeter because it's suffused with that love. Today's first reading, we see what happens when we yoke ourselves to God in this way. Because he always does his work with this love. Isaiah first talks about God. Do you not know, or have you not heard? The Lord is the eternal God, creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint nor grow weary. And those who yoke themselves to him who doesn't faint or grow weary receive from him strength to the fainting. For the weak he makes vigor abound. Though young men, athletes, faint and grow weary, and youths stagger and fall. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar as on eagle's wings. They will run and not grow weary, walk and won't faint. God wishes to give us that strength. This is the strength we see, for example, in Pope Francis, who in 2 days will celebrate his 50th anniversary of priestly ordination, and in 6 days, his 83rd birthday. He's a man who continues to outpace most of those around him because in his vocation he is suffused by love. We see it in John Paul II, continue to persevere with all his troubles at the end of his life at 83. We see it, 85. We see it in St. Teresa of Calcutta, who again just never stopped as a spiritual energizer bunny. We see it in your work, receiving those calls even late at night when human beings would already be in bed. We see it in so many moms who, out of love for their kids, just continue to give. Now, so much of this work could crush us. It can alienate us if it's not yoked to the Lord. But when it is, everything changes. And God wants to give us, through that loving yoke, the strength to run without wearying, to walk without fainting. The greatest witness of this type of fruit that flows from yoking is in the martyrs. Today, the church celebrates the feast of Pope St. Damasus, whom, as we heard in the opening prayer today, had an incredible devotion to the martyrs and adorned their tombs so that the whole Christian faithful, even down to our own day, would be able to go, venerate, and learn from them how to yoke themselves to the Lord even in the midst of the worst of suffering, so that they'd be able to finish the race and keep the faith without fainting or wearying. In the 4th century, there was a massive change in Christianity when it was legalized. Prior to 313, to be baptized was to be like Blessed James Miller under a death sentence. No matter what country you were in, you were just waiting for the Romans to enforce it, as they did 13 times in 250 years. But after 313, when Christianity was legalized, Constantine in particular wanted to surround himself with Christians because he knew Christians wouldn't lie, they wouldn't steal, they wouldn't be cheaters, they would do honest work, and that was much better than the alternatives. So there were a lot of people getting baptized because they wanted really good-paying civil service jobs. So the quality of the Christian life among many dramatically decreased. took a while to deal with that type of corruption. But eventually there were two responses of the church. The first was to go out into the desert, we could call it, with the desert monks. People started to get away in order to focus fundamentally on God. Some for the rest of their lives, others for a time. Advent is a time for desert days, to go out with John the Baptist in the middle of the desert in order to prepare the way of the Lord. That was the first way the 4th century faithful Christians yoked themselves to Jesus better. The second was through the veneration of the martyrs. They would come to visit their tombs. Pope St. Damasus needed to fix up the tombs because they weren't ready to receive the extraordinary numbers of pilgrims coming to venerate there. But the early Christians saw in the martyrs, even if they were themselves not going to be martyred, the types of means by which, through faith, hope, and love in Jesus, through yoking themselves to him, they would be able to remain true. Both of those lessons are key for us in Advent. It's so important for us to learn from the example of those who have yoked themselves to the Lord in the most extreme of circumstances, so that we might be able to yoke ourselves to the Lord in ordinary ones. Blessed James Miller was called by the cardinal presiding over his beatification a martyr for education. That he was willing to give his life to carry out the Great Commission, imitating Christ the teacher and passing on the faith. And I woke up this morning saying, I should have put into this article, I hate it when that happens, that there, as we know, are red martyrs and white martyrs, to use Sheen's expression. Those who actually give their blood and those who would be willing to give their blood. So many teachers, of course, suffer for their students. So many of the Christian brothers, even those who aren't martyred and raised to the altars, put themselves at risk, as many other missionaries do, to bring the faith to others. And so we, learning from the martyrs, the red ones, learn how to be white ones. The greatest means by which Jesus yokes us to him happens at Mass. We know that in Latin, the word for yoke is jugum. And it's at Mass that we become conjugum with Jesus. It's the great consummation of the spousal union between bridegroom and bride. As he yokes himself to us on the inside so that we might learn from him meekness and humility, so that we might find rest for our souls, so that our burdens might be lighter and sweeter, and so that we might run with him this race, all the way to the Father's embrace, without ever giving up.